Now, my boy did an unkind thing. He gave me a watch for a present a while ago, and he has a beeper set for 12 o'clock that's going to ring. He was wishing to invent one that had a nail and it would go down, but that's my boy. To 12 o'clock, folks, a feast before us, I trust. The theme, I know, is not a new one to you people, but I would like to tell you that the preparation of this produced a lot of anguish because I think the opposition doesn't want us to utilize the most powerful tool a Christian has at his disposal, is to pray. But how do we know our prayers are effective? In the series of this week and next week, with the Lord's help, your cooperation, and praying too, such that the opposition will be held back, and that you will remember God's word above all, we will discuss the following themes. The first paper that Eric is handing out has got the title, Analysis of My Prayer Life. There's a bit of provocation there. Don't fill it out, because if you leave it lying around, you could be blackmailed. But remember, the Lord knows. The preparation of this theme on prayer was quite provocative to me. I mean, after all, I'm a preacher. I should know how to pray. My mother taught me how to pray ever since I was about six. She says, okay, none of this. Now I lay me down to sleep. Here goes. We're going to pray. Repeat it after her. And I got the idea of reverence. I got the idea of talking to somebody else who I believed in but didn't quite know how to reach. And as I got older, I complicated things. What prayer really works? How do I know? Peter, the shortest prayer in the Bible, 3 words, Lord, save me. That's a good prayer. That works for everybody. Is that for the sinner to pray, or is that for the saint to pray? Those words. They work for anybody, or just for special people? You see that prayer is a tool that we know is available, but not too sure how to use. And in embarrassment, I wouldn't want to share all my embarrassment, I found that the study of prayer was very beneficial to me. Now, the series that I had prepared on this and I delivered on one occasion before took a series of at least 8 to 12 sessions because I involved the people in the presentation. However, limiting it to 4, I'm going to have to really move. I'd like to invite you on the sheet, as you see, lots of blank spaces. It really serves you well when you write in the blank spaces after the verse references what the Bible said to you. What does the Bible say itself? It's uncanny. Once you write it, it hits and sticks better. Not just hearing it. You hear it, you say, oh, isn't that nice? Now, I'll guarantee you, within seconds afterwards, you won't remember what you heard. The devil is sneaky. He doesn't want us to remember God's word. He sends the birds, in effect, to take away the seeds. And I'll tell you, we have lots of hard ground. The older you are in the Christian faith, the older I am, I'm finding easier for the seeds to be snatched. We blame it on memory. Uh-uh. I don't think so. We blame it on somebody. Blame it on yourself, too, of course, but blame the opposition who does not want us to remember God's word. Prayer is powerful. It works. I tell you, it works. And we're going to find out some miracles, what God tells us. And if I don't finish today, who cares? The sheet is all we're going to do today, this one in the morning. The morning is going to be, is prayer important? Of course. How important? When do you use it? How do you use it? Is there something magic about it? Do I have to, like, bribe God? Do I have to promise him something before I ask him something? I bet you across the road, those fellows, when they get into combat, they're all prayers. I don't care how tough they are. They don't want to die, and they promise God all kinds of wonderful things. Lord, if you save me out of this foxhole, I will not do the following, I promise you. Well, I'll tell you, fella, if he doesn't save me, you won't do it either. Don't blackmail him. Don't force him. God's hand cannot be forced. But he does love to answer prayer. The Lord Jesus talks about it very much. It's a command, would you believe, to his people. Command to pray. Anyway, this evening, if you stick with me, the special benefits of prayer. All this is nice. And then next week, Lord willing, and if we don't fall asleep before I get home to Courtney at 3 this morning, next morning, we're going to have to be driving most of the time to get back. Coming back next week, the first thing in the morning, we'll talk about hindrances to effective prayer. And in the evening, we'll talk about praying with power. And you're not going to hear theology. We're going to read the Bible and say, God said it. He said it. Man, it's easy. Works. The devil's going to say, ah, come on. But God said it. And you're going to have the test of, do you use it? Are you going to try it? Anyway, that preamble took us 7 minutes. The analysis of your prayer life, if you'd be so kind, you may look at that as you desire. And be embarrassed like most of us would be. The special benefits, let's look at this evening. But first of all, is prayer important? And of course, we're going to say yes to that. And while I'm collecting my papers and putting them in the proper order here, let's preamble by using the very mechanism we're talking about. You don't want to hear me. Father God, we thank you for the vehicle that you've given us, the examples of prayer in the Bible by man and even the Savior himself. And you exhort us to pray everywhere, all times. And we would doubt this very easily because we get all kinds of rationale telling us to use our strength, to use our wisdom. But really, you say, talk to me. And we even sang about it. Therefore, Father, we ask that you would keep the opposition away today, the devil, or even our own thoughts, our straying thoughts, whatever, any agitation that take us away from your precious words and help us to be better people as a result of praying, talking to our Savior, to our God. And if those that don't know him well or not sure of their relationship to him, that they would understand that it's family talk, and to be in part of the family through repentance and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for the gospel to be clear this morning in our hearts, and we be comforted, Christians highly exhorted and built up in the holy faith, not just religion or action that looks good, but is good in your eyes. In the precious Lord's name, we ask for help, knowing that you must give and sustain. Bit of a story here, background. Mrs. Prayer Meeting dies a horrible death. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worldly Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of great revival, she was a strong, healthy child, fed largely on testimony and spiritual holiness, soon growing into worldwide prominence and was one of the most influential members of the famous church family. For the past several years, Sister Prayer Meeting has been in failing health, gradually wasting away until rendered helpless by stiffening of knees, coldness of heart, inactivity, and weakness of purpose and willpower. At last she was but a shadow of her former happy self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning marts of trade and places of worldly amusements. Her older brother, Class Meeting, has been dead for many years. Experts, including Dr. Works and Dr. Joyner, disagreed as to the cause of her fatal illness. Administering large doses of organization, socials, contests, drives, and religious education, but to no avail. A postmortem showed a deficiency of spiritual food coupled with lack of fasting, faith, heartfelt religion, shameless desertion, and non-support as contributing causes for her death. Only a few were present at her rites, sobbing over memories of her past beauty and power. Carefully selected pallbearers were urged to bear her remains carefully away, but failed to appear. There were no flowers. Her favorite hymns, Amazing Grace, Rock of Ages, were not sung. Miss, I'm a modern, rendered, beautiful isle of somewhere, but none had any idea where that fancied isle might be. The body rests in the beautiful cemetery of bygone glories, awaiting the summons from above. In honor of her going, the church doors will be closed on Wednesday nights, except on the third Wednesday of each month when the Ladies Pink Lemonade Society serves refreshments to the members of the men's hardball team. Ah, and that doesn't mean us, does it? I'll tell you, the danger is imminent. It's possible. Anything is possible when it comes to deviating from what God's original plan was. Let's look to our next sheet. Is prayer important? That key verse, Ephesians 6:18, is worth memorizing. It's worth writing out in full on those three lines. If you don't want to do it now, I have the pleasure of letting you do this at any time you like. All the references will be given to us tonight on that second sheet. But this first sheet of work today, you may wish to follow along with me. But the first three lines for sure, you want to write Ephesians 6, verse 18. Look it up in your Bibles. Let's make sure we read it together. If you have a Bible in your hand, you're lucky. I'll tell you what happens when this thing hits Russia. They rip it apart because they're sharing it. That shocks me. I don't know how many Bibles I got in my house in different languages. Some have a lot of dust on them, but I tend to use this favorite workhorse because I know it. I can almost open it and tell you what I've underlined. Not because I have such a fantastic memory, but it's part of me. Nevertheless, this Ephesians verse is worth memorizing. If you want a writing stick, I happen to bring along 2 dozen pencils sharpened. Anybody care for a pencil to write with? Prepare ourselves. Anybody need one? Thank you for being so bold. Let us know. I've counted them, and I hope there's 28 or more. It's an act of faith on my part that they multiply. Notice, none of them came from here. All my Sunday school pencils I keep as a treasure in my desk at home. Seriously, folks, Ephesians 6, verse 18, last chapter to a beautiful set of people. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm not going to read that fast, but I'm asking you, first of all, to write down the verse. I ask your invitation to look at point A. Notice the repetitions. What words are repeated? I don't mean the and. I want the powerful words. The first one, they don't know they're supposed to take part here in this class. There's the word all. That's not exaggeration. That's not just to fill up space. It says all prayer and supplication. All kinds. If it's not specific, it means it's general. It doesn't say specifically for age or ability. Everybody has a capacity then to pray. What kind of prayings? It describes a little bit here. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, it qualifies it. Not just anybody then. In the Spirit. S, capital. Holy Spirit. You've got to know God. You have to know something about Him. Not just anybody can talk to Him and expect results then. Ouch. That eliminates the non-Christian. Eliminates the people who think they're Christian and aren't. It's rather very serious news here. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey, these are living people praying. Imagine, a saint is a living person. You don't have to die to be a saint. All kinds of good news in this verse. Write it out, and you will see the always is another concept of repetition. Always. You never become a smug Christian, in fact, saying, I don't have to pray anymore. The vehicle has been tested, I know it works, and I'll save it for a rainy day or save it for an emergency. Uh-uh. Always. Nobody should be content with their ability. Matter of fact, that's the blessing of getting old. I was just told I had lots of grays today. All right, well, I'll tell you what, I had another blessing. Yesterday, I looked in the mirror and I said, you know, old man, you're losing them. That's okay. You won't see any of it. It's all right. I don't care. Looked at my sister yesterday and said, man, she's getting old. Yeah, but she's a year and a half younger than you, man. Not fair. Mom looks older. It's okay. I'm not going to feel sorry about each other's maladies. But I'll tell you what, prayer works. All on always. The strong words, look what they are. I invite you to think what the strong words are. The first one I see is prayer. Basically, it means coming to God, admitting we need help, and you go to the supreme source. Look at this verse we just sang. His name is Higher. Oh, we sang that with real gusto, huh? That's from his house. Gusto, gusto, eh? Jesus is Lord. believe that? Do I believe that? Every instance do I say, hey, I can talk to the Lord, the Master of the Universe. Boy, this is no Nintendo game. This is a real living He. Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Higher! There's nothing higher than we can know Him. And He wants to hear from us. How foolish not to talk to Him, eh? Not just to say thank you, but ask. Ask, talk to me. He's the biggest capable Father, Abba, as He wishes to be called by the Jews, Daddy. Really know me, talk to me. He's not a stingy dad. He's Lord. Okay, Dave, talking to myself, I really believe that. I should be a willing conversationalist with this one. The strong words, come to God, He is able. It says supplication also. I wonder what that means. Well, you see, coming to God, but remember, supplication invites us to come for others, for their benefit. By the way, if I ask for a benefit for A, A is going to ask for my benefits, I hope. We have to inform each other of our inabilities, possibly. Let's be transparent with each other. We need each other desperately. That's the concept of brotherhood. No one doing it all. Come to God now, prayer, supplication, for others. It says watching also. I wonder what the concept of that is. Basically, it's telling us, keep alert. Don't be lazy. Don't make it automatic or ritual. There's a little bit of negative in that teaching. Okay, prayer is an effective tool. It's powerful. And he says about perseverance. Be earnest. Mean what you say. Say what you mean. Doesn't say how long. It has to be. You mean business. God knows our heart. He looks at the heart. He says, why are they doing that? They're praying out loud. Oh, are they trying to impress the guy next to them? Or do they really want to talk to me? I tend to get conscience stricken by people around me. We don't want to offend. Yeah, well, talk to God. Fully what they think. He counts. The whole idea is prayer is meant to be a useful tool, a polite, effective vehicle of communication. It's important, yes. If you take a look at verse 8 of Luke 11, there I find the proof of perseverance. Luke 11, verse 8. Would another voice like to read it out loud, please? Whoever finds it first, go ahead, read it out loud. With confidence that you believe the words.
I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.
Yeah, you know, pleading is okay. You're not losing face by pleading with God, the supplier of every good gift. Matter of fact, there's a verse that tells me that the goodness of God brings us to repentance. Our need. He doesn't rub our nose in saying, you forgot. Or you asked yesterday. James 1:5 tells me that very plain. He says he does not upbraid. Matter of fact, let's look it up. Okay, pleading is okay. To prove it further, James 1:5. Look that verse up, please. Somebody read it loud and clear. Read it slowly so we don't lose the impact. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men, men is in italics, which means somebody added it in there, which giveth to all people, liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Upbraideth means, what didn't I give you a little while ago? Don't you have enough? What did you do? Did you waste it? No, that's upbraiding. Upbraiding means, come on, give account first. No, talk to me, ask. I will give you wisdom. I'll tell you, in this day and age, we need wisdom, do we not? I wouldn't want to be a parent without having lots of wisdom. Nevertheless, we have the preamble of pleading. Plead, persevere. Back to Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. Supplication in the Spirit Uh-huh. That's going to edit our requests. That'll control. That'll help. And by the way, even if we don't use words, he says, the Spirit interprets our groanings. We have to use English. If you can't think of the word, you think of a feeling. I can't express that. Man, that's pretty neat communication. It works. It must work, because the devil doesn't want us to use it. We can wipe him. We? No. We use the vehicle that can wipe. When I say wipe, I mean not any power trip. Just simply say, listen, a Christian is meant to be a powerful tool for God's glory. Not for his own, but for God's glory. Prayer works. And when I say it out loud, I talk to you folks about it. It helps me remember the words. Nevertheless, I'd like to read a story about a church. Stories told of a church which had to begin its Sunday morning service without the music of its organ. The organist began to play on the keyboard, but no music came forth. The power was cut off. Realizing there must be a short circuit, someone went to locate the trouble. When it was located and the time estimated to repair it, a note was sent up to the pastor saying, the power will be on after your prayer. I hope that hit him between the eyes. Better pray first then. Yeah. It could be a habit. Pray before we start our meeting. To give it a real good closure, we pray afterwards. That ought to seal it and circulate it. What if we forget? What if we don't? An attitude of prayer throughout the service should be done. You pray for the preacher that he does a good job. You pray that the Lord will give him liberty. You pray that the opposition is held back so the side issues don't come in. And all kinds of attractions. Because staring into a sea of faces is not easy. Point number one, necessity of prayer. Can you hear me, Mr. Shannon? Can you hear me okay? Good. Number one, write down. It's a command. Prayer, the necessity, and by the way, that's the Spanish spelling. It overruled my common sense there. I looked at it. That's wrong. What's wrong with that word, necessity? Ah, it needs two S's. All right, I've confessed. I feel better. It's a command. It is not an option. If it's a command, it is not an option. We have no choice. We are supposed to pray. I would not want to be in God's presence and he'd ask, why didn't you pray? Well, I didn't feel like it, or I did the other time. No, you're supposed to pray always. Luke 18, verse 1 is a reference you might like to write down. Luke 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray, it says. Not just men. All men, women, children, humanity. Ephesians 6, 18 we just read. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. There we have the writer saying, hey, it's a sin not to pray. Did you know that? It's a sin not to? That shocked me a bit. We cannot be lethargic. We must be fervent in prayer. We have every reason to. Not only for a command, but it has its reward. So those points will emphasize the beauty of this command. Number two, it's God's way to get things. James 4, verse 2. Take a look at that, please. Hebrews and then James. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Pretty straightforward language. Who wants to read from this austere brother? But I'll tell you, he speaks straight, does he not? He's kind, I like him very much. The Word of God has privileged to let us read this personality who rebukes us. But where come wars and fightings among you? He's talking about Christians. He's not talking about the world. Christians fight? No. Wake up. They do. Anyway, let's talk to God. In the Spirit. I'll know what to ask for now. I ain't going to count on it. He might say, wait. You say, leave it with me. Yes or no, and I don't have a telegram floating down from heaven. I have his Spirit to guide me. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, I'm promised. Oh, that's fellowship. That's walking with. He wants to hear from us. He wants to give, give, give. Because he can only one, the only one who can get me to give. It's God's way to get things. So let's ask it through his way then. Point number three. It's vital to our lives. That's how necessary prayer is to a Christian. Who would not want to be a Christian when you see the beauties of the Christian behavior pattern? I want to be a vibrant, alive Christian who is utilizing this tool. Well, I'll pray for you. I haven't found one person in the world to say, no, Dave, don't bother. I had a Mormon friend in Peru say to me, well, pray for us. And I thought first, why don't you pray for yourself? I said, no, I will. We will. Thanks. He felt better right away. I thought, who believes in it? Me. Oh, I prayed lots of things for that man he didn't even know about. And I also prayed for my eyes to be open too. God does. Oh, it scares me. I realize a lot of religion gets in the way. Man's ideas goof up God's beautiful ways. It's vital to our lives. Look at Acts chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. You will see the proof there that was vital to the apostles. The first problem in the Christian church, and he says, well, fellas, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's get to a prayer meeting first. When then you folks will make a decision. We will not wait on tables while you fellas will make your decision, eh? Tell you what, we will do this, you will do that. We're going to dedicate ourselves to prayer. Then you will make the right decision. I bet they were all praying. It's vital to our lives. You cannot survive without prayer. Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 16, another example of the vitality of prayer. It's necessary. There you see that they're thanking God for each other. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. Popular phrase of the writer. I like that. Isn't that nice of somebody saying, you know, sure glad you came. Nice to be here with you. We tend to be a social cliche, but really, it has meaning. You're important to me. Tell people they're important to you. You won't get slapped. I don't believe you. No, tell me again. I like that. Sounds good. You bet it is. God has designed us for each other. Colossians 1 verse 9, vital. For others to be filled. You're praying for the benefit of other people. But can't I pray for myself? Sure. Pray for others. Let them know that you're praying for them. Guarantee you, if you tell a bunch of people, I'm praying for you, chances are there'll be some of them praying for you too. Nothing made me feel better than to know that when people come to me and say, we're praying for you. You are. I sense something. Being protected above all. Wow, why am I being preserved? Because somebody's praying for me. I sure like it when it's younger people. It's for sure from the older ones. But the younger ones might not have the courage to say so. There are other references here, but I can't seem too plain. I wrote too small, so I'll have to skip to the next point. Time is advancing anyway. It's vital to our lives. I have other references here if you wish to copy. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, but I can't read what I wrote, and I would have to look it up. And also 1 Timothy 1, 3. Vital to our lives. Write the references down. Look them up at home. Enjoy them. God will speak to you in ways that even I didn't lead you in. Point number four, it glorifies God because we believe what he said. John 14, verse 13 is a good reference. 14, verse 13 says, and whatever ye shall ask in my name, whatever in my name, that's the qualifier. When whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. How many of you memorized that in Sunday school? I did. That sounds good. Right. Table it for a needy day. If you never use it, you won't remember it. At least I sure didn't. Confession. But I'll tell you, God tells us, do it. It works. I want to hear from you. It glorifies God because it displays His power, you see, through us when we pray. We honor His name. He doesn't say, pray out loud, pray silent, on your knees, on your face, while you're driving, whatever. He doesn't say. He just says, pray. He leaves it up to us. He's not hooked on circumstances, but He's sure interested in our heart's motives. And it works. It must. We're all surviving to this point because we're praying for each other, I'm sure. I prayed much for this service, that there'd be a response by everybody to God's word, that I would somehow fade away out of it. He'd say, I don't remember much what he said, but I sure came across something in his that I saw you, but it never hit me like before, like it does now, eh? God is powerful. Glorifies Him. Number 5. Because there is Satan, I want to pray. I have to pray. Christ did because there was Satan. You think I should pray less? Because there is Satan. Let's take a look at another verse in Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 13. I'll tell you, the opposition is strenuous. We haven't got a chance. And the world will say, you haven't got a prayer. Oh, yes, I do. That's what I do have. Ephesians 6, verse 12. This will be one of two references I'll bring your mind to regarding because there is Satan. Point number 5. Okay, Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're outnumbered already, but we're not going to lose. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When you finish, you're going to be found standing. Not because of you, because you depended on. There is Satan. He's a wicked foe out to destroy. But we're on the winning team if we are in the Spirit praying to the Lord of heaven. Imagine if someone standing there without the helmet. The helmet being metal would control the size of the head, I would think. Not just for protection. What would man's head be like if it wasn't controlled for size, eh? Not just arrogant. Worse. Self-destructive. So you see, put on this special helmet. Put on the shields. Nothing for your back. Don't ever run from. Run to. Make sure you're using all the weapons that the Lord has outlined here. You see quite a few of them. And make sure you're speaking in the Spirit. Because if he recognizes the opposition, recognizes another voice other than the Spirit's, you've lost. He knows who's really in there. And then you've had it. We cannot win, but we know who can. That verse we sang about. He is Lord, so get under his economy quick. Well, Christians, we are exhorted. We have every reason to. It's necessary. It works. Next reference, Ephesians chapter 5, First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. First Peter 5, verse 8. Because there is Satan is our theme. Be sober, be vigilant. You know, be in control. Be sober, be vigilant, be alert. Be conscious, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Walking, not very fast, but he seems to get his target. And a lion always attacks the stragglers, never attacks the group. Don't forsake the assembly of yourselves then, eh? would be another exhortation. Christians, stick together, huddle together. You won't be attacked. You can't. We're going to fortify each other, praying for each other, silently or vocally, but we will be on the winning side. We're designed for winning. Interesting verse. Peter ought to know. He ought to know. He had lots of trouble in his life. Boy, he sure knows how to win, though. Okay, the necessity of prayer. Real quick, point one, it was a command, not an option. Number two, it's God's way. Number three, it's vital to our lives. We need it. Can't survive without it. He glorifies God. Point four. And five, because there is Satan. 5 minutes left to look at the ministry of intercession at the bottom. Number one, ministry of intercession. Jesus did it. He interceded, so therefore he asks us to intercede one for another. Reference, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Another voice want to read that? Okay, I will then. In the morning, rising up, a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Don't know what he said, but he prayed. We know whom he's talking to. There must be a need for this. Imagine Jesus praying. He did it. Around 25 times you find in the Gospels, Jesus prayed. That's a lot. It wasn't just an odd event. No. And you know something? He still does pray. Point number two. He did it, number one. Number two, he still does it. Let's look at a reference. Hebrews 7:25. No, I'm really getting warm. I like this because I'll tell you, folks, it reminds me over and over again the power of prayer. There is a saying in the world, prayer changes things. Is that in the Bible? No. God changes things. Prayer is a vehicle that I can talk to him and ask him about, petition for. And if it's according to his will, change. Yes, let's get the order straight. Okay, back to the reference, please. Hebrews 7:25 says in plain language, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, if a non-Christian's been here this morning and heard, or not sure of your Christianity, I'll tell you what, the benefits of prayer, nobody can say, I have sinned so much God can't save me, or God wouldn't care, or I've done too much. I've taken him by surprise, in effect, and he wouldn't be interested in me. Phooey! Look what it says. He's able also to save them to the uttermost. No one's more conscious of their sin than a Christian. Satan wants to remind us of them, and Hebrews tells us very plainly. I was musing on this morning in the breaking of bread. He's not interested. What does he bring to remembrance? Our names are written in heaven. He brings to remembrance not our sins. We will do it. The devil will do it. He does not keep a record of our sins. Unfortunately, the tattoo marks are left in our lives and we remember them. And Satan takes advantage of them. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. By the person of Jesus Christ. Gotta come via him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What a promise! Who wouldn't want to be a Christian? What a benefit! To have a living intercessor, as the song said, nobody higher. Eh? He is Lord. On the mainland, one of the nicest things to come to this place is that this big sign of blue that says, Jesus is Lord, capital letters, Lord. I like that. Vancouver Island hasn't got the courage to put up a sign like that yet. So, one sign of coming to the mainland where there's life. Eh? Romans 8:34. Another reference for us. Romans 8:34. Which tells me very plainly, hey, look, it's condemnation if I don't have an intercessor. Hey, that's close. I've got to have help. So Romans, please, chapter 8, verse 34, you'll see a reference there about this intercession. Who is he that condemneth? Shall Christ that died? No, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Starts off with condemnation, but winds up with intercession. Every sinner, every saved person knows about intercession. A little bit. In Exodus this morning, reading chapter 16, my eye caught a few verses above there. It talks about the fellows there, ladies, gathering manna, but they ate bread to the full. The end of the verse is interesting. It says, that ye may know that the Lord is God. Hey, neat. The Egyptians also had the same news, that he will know that I am God. But they got zapped. Not the Christian. Intercession, what we needed. We've got it available. Gone off yet. I know what happened. This watch is set an hour late. Next week it'll be fixed. On our first visits after lunch today, Bruce set this crazy thing for 12. I will do it. Don't worry. They don't trust me. Okay. Jesus still intercedes for us. Prayer. So must we. Point number 3. Colossians 4:12. What a precious scripture we have in our hands, eh? I don't have to memorize it. Oh, it's nice when you do. But I would want to be a Russian. My heritage. Go back there and say, what page have you got, pal? Oh, man. Who's got page 38 anyhow? Yeah, he lives in Kiev. You were in Odessa. That's a long ways away, man. Is it worth walking for? Yeah. I better make a copy of this. Anyway, here we have it. Our own hands. Colossians 4 verse 12 says, precious language. Epaphras, who is one of you? A servant of Christ greeteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Who's Epaphras? I don't know, but what he's doing works. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He tells us what to pray about. My prayer for you, and I hope it's for me. You folks pray for me, that what I do is perfect, complete in all the will of God. I might not think it's perfect. Doesn't matter. He says it's perfect. If what I do is what he asked me to do, and that's all. Oh boy, neat. And you tell me you're praying for me that for that specific point, and I'll say, wow, thanks. Don't quit. I'm good for you too. What if I forget? Oh, we're going to have to talk about that next sessions. What happens when people forget? What happens if they don't? I'll tell you now the hint. He even answers before they ask. I couldn't wait. I had to tell him the answer. I'll tell you, folks, he knows our frailty. He knows what we're made up of, and he doesn't rub it in. He said, look, talk to me. Talk to me. So, time is gone. I must quit. Little homework. The bottom of the page. Ephesians, where and what verse? You find it. You figure it out. Ah. Bright students. Yes, it is. Unto him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh boy. Turn the Christians loose. They're going to do a marvelous work. Unto him be glory. If they do it for his glory, it will work. I have more here to read, but I'll just leave it. There's an exciting story here about praying. A missionary who prayed, caught, almost died, almost drowned by a flash flood somewhere in South America. Comes home on furlough and found out that somebody has been praying for her. When was it? They checked the hour, the day, the hour. Bingo, right on the very same time. And okay, I got a story to tell you. I was in that particular situation. I was as good as dead. I was underwater. I wasn't going to make it. One breath of air is all I had, and I needed more. For some reason, I came to the surface. You prayed. You saved my life. I had no idea. Now, not everybody's so privileged by those stories, but how would you like it? The thought in glory, since we believe God says to pray, and we do, and he says, because you prayed, he's here in glory. I wish I prayed more. No, it's all I ask you to do. It's all I ask you to do is to pray for him. And I ask you to pray for somebody else. You, ma'am, while you're washing dishes, doing something else, something flashed to you, you pray. Man, don't blame yourself for forgetting. Not one person is supposed to do it all anyhow. He is doing the work. And he's using his people wherever they are. You say, Lord, I want to do your work. Well, okay, I believe you. I'll let you. I'll help you. Stick around. But I'm not doing much. How do you know? Father God, I thank you for your words. I thank you for a response to it, and thank you for opening our hearts. I sense this morning you kept the evil one away. May the words ring in our hearts and our lives. We're going to forget lots, but may the radiance of this experience never leave us. May the sheet remind us. May we pass on the news to other people and help each other in this powerful tool that you've afforded us. May it bring much glory to you and only for you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.